Ever dream of a three-row SUV where everything for every passenger feels just right? Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX80. With available features like biometric cooling, electronic air suspension, and segment-first individual audio that isolates sound right to the driver's seat. Discover every just-right feature in the all-new QX80 at InfinitiUSA.com. 2025 QX80 is not yet available for purchase. Expected availability summer 2024. Individual audio cannot buffer all interior sounds. See owner's manual for details.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun, trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome back to the Dirty Birds of Brews podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Knight, at Falcoholic Kevin, here to finally bring you a recap of the first week of Falcons free agency. Had a lovely vacation that just every once in a while happens to overlap with free agency. This was one of those years, and of course the Falcons did some crazy stuff like signing their future quarterback for at least the next 2 years, perhaps three, perhaps four. It was a four-year total deal for Kirk Cousins, as was highly anticipated going into free agency. They also added three new wide receivers, including a big deal for Darnell Mooney. We got a trade of Desmond Ridder for Rondale Moore, and then of course adding special teams maven Ray McLeod to sort of give some insurance with Avery Williams, just to make sure he's healthy and at least have a solid backup at returner, which the Falcons apparently did not have last year. So a whole new reshaped offense and not really a whole lot of other moves, especially not on defense, which again, not surprising when you give out and spend all your energy trying to get the number one free agent in this class, according to NFL.com and Kirk Cousins. But highly doubt the Falcons are done, and we're going to talk about where they go from here. We're going to talk about these signings and more on today's show. Got a lot to get to. This is, of course, a busy offseason for the Falcons. They're trying to turn the page on the Arthur Smith regime, which obviously was a failure, but we did, of course, get some good players, and the offense is looking a little bit more spicy here. So hopefully we can get something going now with a capable quarterback at the helm. We will get to that in just a moment. Before we do, real quick, want to bring you a word from our sponsor, betonline.ag. Folks, BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year, with March Madness brackets announced and the madness starting up very soon for both men and women. You can get your up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends as you follow your favorite team's path to that championship with live in-game betting, contests, and all the best player props out there. You can experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices with betonline.ag. So what are you waiting for, folks? Head to that website today, betonline.ag, to become part of the team. And remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. All right, let's kick this thing off with the big one. Kirk Cousins joins the Falcons. This one seemed like it had been like all of the energy and all of the rumors sort of coalesced around Kirk Cousins to the Falcons kind of after the combine, when we did get some reporting from Steve Wyche, who, again, I will reiterate, Steve Wyche is arguably the most plugged in Falcons reporter there is. Of course, he does a lot of national stuff, but when he talks about the Falcons, I guarantee you he knows what he's talking about, and someone has told him something important. And what he did say was that the Falcons are not interested in Justin Fields, at least in his estimation, and that they are, but that they were looking for a young quarterback. And I still think that's on the table. But they obviously go the veteran route with Kirk Cousins. That makes a lot of sense. And they do, of course, trade Desmond Ridder, which we'll get to in a minute. So this definitely doesn't seem like they're finished at quarterback based on the other moves they've made. Like they did not release Taylor Heinicke. They let his bonus, his roster bonus, engage this weekend. So what that means is Taylor Heineke is going to be the backup quarterback. He's pretty expensive for that role, but I mean, with a guy coming off a torn Achilles in Kirk Cousins, having what should theoretically be a reliable spot starter to play for Cousins if he's not ready in week one, or if he does need to miss any time or anything like that, that is important. So they're clearly willing to pay for that security. Obviously, Taylor Heineke did not fare well last year with the Falcons, but no quarterback on this roster did, and the passing game was very, very bad. So is it Taylor Heineke's fault, or was it Arthur Smith's fault? Was it a lot of people's faults? Probably a lot of people's faults. I mean, I don't think Taylor Heineke excelled or elevated the scheme in any way, but clearly the team views Heineke as a good backup quarterback and a capable spot starter, given that they're giving him all that money. So that should give us a little bit of breathing room in theory for Kirk Cousins coming off that Achilles tear. And we don't really know what the timeline is on that for sure. I would be surprised if he was not ready to play for week one. I don't know how early we're going to see Cousins in training camp and stuff like that. And that is a concern, because the biggest issue with Kirk Cousins is the age. You're probably only getting maybe three. I mean, if you're talking about, we've seen quarterbacks play into their 40s now. So theoretically, if Cousins stays healthy after this, there's nothing saying he could not play, you know, four more seasons or whatever. But if you look at the details of the contract, the Falcons are expecting Cousins to be here for 2 years at least. The third year is more of like a team option year. And if they want to keep him that year, they're probably going to extend him, because his cap hits escalate pretty heavily at that point. And so my thought is the Falcons will be looking to get the future quarterback in here before 2026, or in 2026, when Kirk Cousins will be turning 38 and he will have a $57.5 million cap hit. So we'll see how that looks, see how that goes. But for the first 2 years, the deal is actually quite reasonable, and the deal itself, I think, is quite good. It is fully guaranteed for Cousins those first 2 years, but it's a $25 million cap hit this year. That is not bad at all for Kirk Cousins. Next year, it's only 40. So again, that's also about what I thought he was going to average per year. If you look at the total value of the contract, it's a bit more than that, but it's not an extravagant deal for Kirk Cousins, because the Falcons are actually only on the hook for $65 million over the first 2 years. And then if they were looking, if they needed to move on from Cousins in 2026, they would only be out $25 million. They could save $32.5 million by moving on in 2026. So they are not at all locked into Cousins after these next 2 years. If Cousins is playing really well, they could try to extend him going into 2026, or try to restructure or move some money around, that sort of thing. But, you know, it really just depends on how he looks this year and next year, more than likely. And the Falcons do have a couple of years to evaluate. But the thing with Cousins that I appreciate is that he was playing his best football last year before he got hurt. And that is not something to ignore. You know, some guys, the more cerebral quarterbacks like a Kirk Cousins, sometimes they do just continue to play well in their career. I mean, Tom Brady's the exception, not the rule. I wouldn't expect anyone to play as long as Brady, but we have seen some quarterbacks find success late in their careers, and maybe Kirk Cousins could be that rare exception in Atlanta. But I think for now, we're expecting him to be here for 2 years. And the Falcons need to use those 2 years to win some football games, to build a winning culture, and then to acquire another quarterback. And whatever that looks like, we'll have to see. Maybe they do take a flyer on someone in this draft. You know, maybe they're able to get like a Michael Penix in the second round. Maybe there's been, you know, a lot of rumors swirling around Spencer Rattler late on day two. Maybe that could be an option. They also have another year to potentially acquire a quarterback in next year's draft, or what have you. And you know, we're not really going to get into the mechanics of that, because we don't know what the Falcons' record is. We don't know who's coming out next year. All of these questions still have to be answered. But at this stage, it's Kirk Cousins is a short-term fix. I do think it's a fix, because I think if we're, you know, definitely go listen to the episode I did with Derek Klassen last week before I went on vacation, where we spent quite a bit of time talking about Kirk Cousins, and Derek was saying he thought this was the best option for Atlanta, because Kirk Cousins was the best quarterback available, period. Now, you can make an argument, obviously, for Caleb Williams and the rookies in the top three being better, like, long-term investments, and I think that is a yes, like, I agree. But in terms of actual on-field ability that we can rely on, I think Kirk Cousins is likely to outplay the rookies. I think he's likely to outplay any of the other quarterbacks signed or traded in free agency, and I don't think that's a hot take. We rarely see CJ Stroud seasons. Like, CJ Stroud coming in, lighting it up, that's very rare. I think he had the best rookie season since Joe Burrow, and like, how many other great rookie seasons have we seen since then? A lot of rookie quarterbacks struggle. So if the Falcons were looking to get to the playoffs this year, Kirk Cousins was probably the best option. It really just, look, we don't know how healthy he is. If he's healthy and continuing to play at what at the level he played at last year, this could be a great signing. If he's not healthy and he never is the same, then this is going to not look great. But the Falcons had to take a shot on somebody, because sitting at 8, you're not going to get one of the top 3 quarterbacks. That seems pretty clear. Maybe somebody is willing to trade out one of the 3, but then you have to fight the Vikings, you have to fight the Broncos, you have to fight the Giants for that one opportunity, or you're taking JJ McCarthy, and even JJ McCarthy you might have to trade up for. So it's a difficult situation to be in. There weren't really a lot of other great options. And so I think Kirk Cousins is the one that ends up making the most sense, because look, as much as I like Justin Fields, it's clear that the NFL was nowhere near as high, that the NFL does not view Justin Fields as a starter. Or if they do, they view that he needs a lot more time to develop before becoming a starter. So that was not on the table. Nobody was really interested in that. So that was clearly off. So in that case, the one viable option was Kirk Cousins. And part of the reason why he fits in Atlanta so well, aside from the off-the-field stuff, like his wife's family's here, he wants to be close to family, retire in Atlanta, all that stuff makes a ton of sense. He fits the scheme perfectly. This is a scheme that he's very familiar with. This is very similar to the scheme the Vikings have been running. He will be able to drop right in, have familiarity with the terminology, with the route concepts, with everything. This is a very easy transition for Cousins. He doesn't have to reinvent the wheel. He doesn't have to do much at all to get acclimated. So this is the type of situation that's perfect for him, because he doesn't have a lot of time to get heated up. You know, he doesn't have a lot of time to work to adjust to a new scheme. He needs to go someplace where he can come in and immediately hit the ground running. And that is what this scheme in Atlanta should be for Kirk Cousins. The other side of the coin, of course, is the weapons, and that's where we're going to get to now. Drake London, obviously a target hog, number one wide receiver, that should be getting a lot more opportunities with Kirk Cousins that he did not get with the previous quarterbacks the Falcons had here. I think that's obviously a great match and a good number one. Drake London is not Justin Jefferson. No one is Justin Jefferson except Justin Jefferson. But Drake London's a very capable number one for Cousins. That's probably going to be a very high target share in this offense. And then the Falcons do make a few other moves to really solidify the receiving core in a way that I was not really expecting. I was expecting a wide receiver signing, but not the sort of volume of moves that the Falcons made here. So Darnell Mooney is the big signing. They do get Mooney, who is going to be only 27 this year, which is that's nice. Obviously, he has an opportunity to have his best years here in Atlanta. They do give him a pretty good contract, $13 million per year over 3 years going through 2026. He's highly unlikely to see that 2026 contract unless he just plays incredible football for the most part. But the Falcons get him this year for just $7.5 million. Next year, that goes up to $14 million, and then it goes up to $17 million in 2026, where the Falcons could save $12 million by moving on. So the clock is sort of ticking on that, and that sort of dovetails like with when they're going to have to pay Drake London, which I think is really smart. You know, they may have to decide to either extend Mooney and get that cap hit down, or move on and go for a younger wide receiver too, which they probably will do at that stage, but it's a long way off. And Mooney, I think, to his credit, has always been a good receiver. He's certainly not your traditional guy. He's on the lighter side, but he's very, very fast. He's got a ton of explosiveness. He's a great separator, and that's what the Falcons were really lacking last year, especially with Kyle Pitts still recovering from injury. So Darnell Mooney comes in to give you that 4-3 speed and that explosiveness, and he's going to be the separator opposite London for the most part. The nice thing about Mooney and London, and Kyle Pitts for that note, is that they can all play in the slot. Mooney did play a fair number of his snaps in the slot. He did play a lot outside as well, so he can move around as needed. I like that signing. I think it's the dynamic guy the Falcons really did need to complement Drake London and Kyle Pitts. And that trio of guys there is a strong start, certainly. The Falcons also make a very unexpected trade, moving quarterback Desmond Ridder to the Cardinals for Rondale Moore, who came into the league with a lot of hype, right? I certainly was a big fan of his coming out of the draft. It never really clicked for Rondale in the year that it did, where he was really on a 1,000-yard pace. I think it was 2 years ago. He ended up getting hurt after 8 games, missing the rest of that season. But he was on fire that year, was looking great. I think he had almost 500 yards in 8 games and was on the way to that 1,000-yard season. So Rondale Moore is a tremendous athlete. He's small, right? He's like 5'7", 181, almost like a reminds me a little bit of like a smaller running back sort of build. But he is fast as hell. Ran a 4.32 at the combine, had a 6.68 three cone, 42.5-inch broad jump at 5'7", which is absolutely absurd. So Moore is definitely a good buy low athletic candidate where you're hoping that he could come in and maybe give the Falcons a spark as that third receiver that he hadn't been able to do in Arizona. And certainly Arizona, you know, when he was playing with Kyler Murray, obviously had the quarterback play, but last year with mostly Josh Dobbs there, you know, didn't get a ton going. And the Falcons get him for just $1.6 million this year. And also, Moore's just 24 years old. He's 24. So this is a one-year flyer sort of deal. You move Desmond Ridder out of here where it seems like that was just a we need to move on from this sort of situation. You get Rondale Moore in here on the cheap. He is a slot player, so he maybe Moore can be your slot receiver that the Falcons didn't really have and that are gonna emphasize now in this 11 personnel scheme with Zach Robinson. I think that's a very good buy low candidate. The question is, like, can you really rely on him as your wide receiver three? I don't know. I mean, obviously, if it works out, you're pretty happy with that. But, you know, I think this is not, I think, the end of the Falcons wide receiver moves. I think they'd be very wise to still take a wide receiver on day two and possibly still take another one on day three because this is a deep class. I do think it makes it a little less likely they'll prioritize it at pick 8 because of the lack of other moves in free agency that we're going to talk about here in a second. But this at least gives the Falcons, along with their other additions, which they did bring in Ray McCloud to be sort of a depth receiver and special teams guy to sort of back up Avery Williams or provide like a little bit of insurance there in case Williams isn't ready to go early. And just to have another guy that you could rely on to return that they just didn't have last year. I think they hoped Mike Hughes was that guy and he just wasn't. They also brought back Kadarrell Hodge to be their special teams, you know, one of their special teams captains, basically. And I thought Kadarrell Hodge, honestly, was a solid receiver when they needed him to be. So I think Hodge as, like, your wide receiver five, wide receiver, you know, that type of guy, I think he's a very good fit there. I think he's absolutely capable of stepping in and playing and being fine. But they still need, I think, one more high-end receiver because, again, you're one injury away from starting Ray McCloud or Kadarrell Hodge already, so they still need to make another move here and maybe even consider getting two rookie receivers into this room, probably one like later on day three. But this is a great draft for receiver. I still think they need to add a receiver, but it may push that down the board a bit. Like, maybe they feel like they can wait to the third round for one of those two third round picks instead of prioritizing it in the second round like I think they were going to before. But they have the flexibility now. Like, if a great receiver, like, say, like, Ladd McConkey falls to the second round, they can be like, yeah, we're going to take Ladd McConkey. Like, yeah, we'll do it. But they don't have to. So say, like, oh, it's, you know, they have a couple guys they like there, but they also have, like, a, you know, I know Trevor Sikkema had Nate Wiggins fall to the Falcons in the second round in his last mock. It's like, okay, well, if Nate Wiggins is still here, maybe we want Nate Wiggins. Maybe one of the edge rushers falls or one of the, maybe Tyler Newbin falls out like I did in my first mock, you know, and they want to have the flexibility to not need to take a wide receiver there with that second round pick. They have that flexibility now. So I think they did a lot of good work to fix what the biggest issue on this team was, which was the offense, which was the quarterback and the wide receivers. They attacked those needs. And I think they addressed them enough to where they're not desperate for those positions in the draft anymore, which is, that's a big step. And yes, going for the free agent quarterback did hurt their ability to add defensive free agents. They were going really hard after Danielle Hunter. And Danielle Hunter chose the Texans. The Falcons apparently had a very competitive offer, but Hunter just chose the Texans because he wanted to go home. There's not really a whole lot you can do about that. And I still think the Falcons are in process, maybe trying to get a trade done for Hassan Reddick or something like that. We'll see if anything materializes there. But at this stage, they were able to solidify wide receiver and quarterback, and they were also able to get another good player in here we'll talk about in just a second.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Ever dream of a three-row SUV where everything for every passenger feels just right? Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX80. With available features like biometric cooling, electronic air suspension, and segment-first individual audio that isolates sound. Right to the driver's seat. Discover every just-right feature in the all-new QX80 at InfinityUSA.com. 2025 QX80 is not yet available for purchase. Expected availability summer 2024. Individual audio cannot buffer all interior sounds. See owner's manual for details.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun, trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store or online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
So that other good player I was mentioning was a tight end, which was a little bit of an unexpected signing for me. That's Charlie Werner, who's actually a guy I was a pretty big fan of coming out of the draft many years ago. I'd almost forgot about him, but he's been with the 49ers for a while, but the very good blocking tight end, great run blocker, Georgia boy. So the Georgia, the Bulldog quota has been filled, right? But the Falcons get Charlie Werner in here to be the blocking tight end to make it so that Kyle Pitts does not need to do that. And they give him a decent contract, right? I think it's about $4 million per year. This year he's just 2.5. Next year he's 3.7. And then the third year of that contract, again, they can get out of it before he starts to see like close to a $6 million cap hit. And you suspect they probably will do that. But Werner, very good blocking tight end, very reliable, doesn't catch a ton of passes. But again, like a lot of blocking tight ends, he's got solid hands. He can certainly catch some passes if needed, but he's going to be mostly the blocking guy. And that should free up Kyle Pitts to be the receiver. This offense is not going to ask Kyle Pitts to do a lot of blocking. I think if he's lined up in the slot or lined up out wide, he may be asked to block sometimes, you know, on run plays, but I think this coaching staff understands that Kyle Pitts as an inline blocker is just not a good use of his talents. It's just really not. He'll be more effective on the play if he's out running a route or lined up somewhere else. And I'm glad for that, because while Kyle Pitts, I think, has worked to improve his blocking, it's just, he was never going to be a good inline blocker. That's just not his game. It's kind of a waste of his energy and his talent to have him out there blocking in line. So I'm glad that the Falcons did this to kind of solidify that second blocking tight end with a guy that's reliable that they can trust to get that job done. And Charlie Werner, good cheap addition to this room that'll sort of round out the depth chart at tight end, and again fill a need that they now just don't need to worry about tight end in the draft. I mean, they could still add someone on day three, a blocking guy, if they want. You know, John Fitzpatrick's still here, Tucker Fisk's still here, but we'll see, you know, if anything comes of that. But in terms of the other free agency moves, nothing else too crazy. They did, of course, bring back a couple of exclusive rights free agents, right? Like Ryan Neuzel came back. Love the news flash. He's a good depth guy. They also brought back Nate Landman, of course, another good depth guy. And, you know, I think they brought back a lot of their main guys here. So I do think that, you know, they did re-sign Storm Norton as well to be the swing tackle. I think that's a great signing. I think Norton did much better than I think anyone expected. at swing tackle when he had to, and I think that's very valuable. And I would definitely, I'm happy they kept him around. I think that was a good move as well. So honestly, you know, you look up and down the roster about where the Falcons could still go in free agency. Obviously, the defense didn't get touched at all. That was surprising to me. I mean, I thought they would at least do something at edge. They haven't really done anything. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, there's still guys out there. I'm sure they're in talks with people. We'll see if anything materializes at edge, but it does seem like that's a position they're going to target really hard in the draft. So we'll see if anything comes of that. Falcons could still look to add a nose tackle. I would love for them to bring back Calais Campbell, like if they can get that done. Campbell's always a guy that's taking his time, that's going to listen to other offers and stuff like that. So I'm not surprised that he is still like on the market. But if they can convince him to come back, that would be significant. He's probably going to have to play 3-4 defensive end in this scheme, but he's a great one, obviously. He's done that quite a bit during his career. So I hope that they're able to get something done with him that he can return. But if not, you know, that position is a bit of a need now. And there are certainly plenty of options in free agency if the Falcons want to go the sort of, you know, veteran route to bring in someone to play nose, but they could also go that route in the draft. There are some guys they could look at there as well. So we'll see the direction they go. The big one is kind of like cornerback and safety. You know, I sort of feel like they're going to add a corner. You know, Akello Witherspoon's still out there, very familiar with the scheme, just spent the whole year with the Rams. I feel like it's kind of a no-brainer to just go get Akello Witherspoon, bring him in here. You know, let him compete with Clark Phillips and the other guys and see, and at least give you some stability there, give you another option at corner. So your depth chart's in a little bit better shape. You know, there are certainly some other options I like. Like, I'd love to take a flyer on Christian Fulton from the Titans. I've always liked Christian Fulton. He had a down year last year, but, you know, which sucks going into his contract year, but he's played some really good football, and cornerback can be one of those high variance positions. I would absolutely take a flyer on Christian Fulton. I think he's worth taking a shot on. You know, there's some guys out there that could be interesting. You know, Bryce Hall from the Jets, he's had to deal with injuries, but I think he's, you know, somewhat interesting. And, you know, I don't know how many of these guys are still going to be out there by the time you listen to this podcast too. So, you know, we'll have to see, but, I do like, some of the cornerbacks that are out there. I think that they can get a guy that could compete for corner two, and, you know, hopefully solidify that spot a little bit before we see, you know, the draft, because again, you're asking a lot now to fill the biggest need on defense and also get a cornerback too, and also, you know, add a wide receiver like you'd like and get a backup quarterback. Like, this is getting a little bit dicier than I thought it would be in the draft. But I do think with the moves they've made on offense, they still have opportunities to address all these positions. And, you know, the main miss that I think has occurred here for the Falcons is that they whiffed on edge again. And they've just continued to do this year after year. And I don't think it's for a lack of trying. It's just so few good edge rushers hit free agency, and the ones that do go quick and they go for above market value. And the Falcons don't like to pay above market value for players. They just don't like to do it. I think that's played out well for Fontenot so far. Certainly, I think the guys that he has given big contracts to have worked out and certainly been smart signings that have not looked like overpays, you know, like Jesse Bates and David Onyemata and those guys. They've all worked out, the guys he's given a lot of money to. So we should probably put a little bit of trust in him that he's not going to overpay for these guys, but they still need to do something at edge. You know, I think the one thing you can look at and say, okay, maybe there's some hope here, is that guys like Lorenzo Carter, Arnold Ebikadi, and D'Angelo Malone, these guys are all better fits for this 3-4 base defense. Like, Ebikadi is definitely a stand-up rusher. Like, trying to make him into a 4-3 guy was always going to be hard. And D'Angelo Malone, too. Like, this is a guy that's a stand-up 3-4 outside linebacker, and that's his home. So I think you could look at this as like, okay, the move back to this defense is going to find more of a home for these guys than they would have had in Ryan Nielsen's defense. But they still need to get like top end guys. Like that's what this is lacking. Maybe Ebikadi could still develop into that, but it hasn't happened yet. Lorenzo Carter, we know he's like a solid all around guy, but again, he's not like a top option. Zach Harrison was maybe the most intriguing of this bunch, but he's not a stand-up rusher. So he's probably going to have to shift inside to that 3-4 defensive end or like that 5-tech role, which might be a good fit for him. It just doesn't help the edge situation necessarily. So, you know, maybe that move can kind of bolster the interior a little bit and give Harrison a little bit more run there. You know, Adeo Gendeji, we know he's had a very encouraging rookie season as a run defender, then really struggled. Maybe he can have a little bit more success this year if he's healthy. But I think edge at 8 is absolutely where this team is going to go. I think a trade down from 8 is absolutely one of the things they're going to want to do. And I think they'd love to pick up future picks too, to potentially maneuver around for a quarterback next year. So, you know, I think 8, they're going to be focusing on the edge rushers. And I think they know if they trade down to like, say J.J. McCarthy doesn't go in the top 4. I know some people think he will. If he does last past the Giants and gets to the Falcons at 8, you know, I think this is a spot where the Falcons will have a lot of suitors trying to get up for J.J. McCarthy. And the Falcons will probably make it known that they're open for business. So, you know, getting, you know, some future, maybe picks this year, you know, you might be able to get a second from the Vikings. You might be able to get, you know, the Jets, if they wanted to get up for Joe Alt. I know they just signed Tyron Smith, but they still need tackle help. The Broncos might be very aggressive to get up in front of the Vikings for that quarterback. You could see what you can get there. It's not going to be like future first level compensation for moves that small, but you could definitely pick up a second, maybe pick up a fourth as well. You know, maybe you could get multiple day 2 picks out of it. So that, I think that is something the Falcons are really going to want to do, because you're still going to be able to get Jared Verse, Dallas Turner, Laiatu Latu in those early teens. That is absolutely, they're one of those guys is still going to be there. I think they like all three. So you'll be able to get one of those guys in that spot. And in the worst case scenario that somehow they all go, which I think is very unlikely, you could take like the top corner then, which again, like you get a Quinyon Mitchell there, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I don't think that's what they want, but it's certainly an option. So I think a trade down is very much on the table too at this stage, but they got to get that edge rusher early. And I think they're going to double dip at edge. We'll see, you know, who that ends up being. I know like Austin Booker from Kansas is a guy I really like, you know, so I think they're going to take an edge early and probably take an edge, you know, on day 2 as well, to get this, to try to get as much invested in this group as they can. And we'll just see what the other moves are, because I guarantee the Falcons are done. There's going to be a second wave of free agency. They're going to get some more players in here. And I know there's been a lot of talk about the cap space. Like, yeah, the Falcons are low on cap space right now. They got $3.4 million. It's not a big deal. They could easily create a lot more cap space. They really haven't started exhausting their options to create cap yet at all. You know, I mean, we'll see. Like, they could move on from Grant, from Hughes, to save, you know, money there if they wanted to. Ogundiji, they could save $3 million for moving on from him. So they could still cut players to get money. This is not super dire. I think we will see some of those guys cut at the end of training camp if they do make it, because they could use that as their emergency money going into the season. But in terms of like restructuring and stuff like that, the Falcons could save, you know, $9 million with Jake Matthews, $7.5 million. Grady Jarrett, $9 million, Chris Lindstrom, $8 million with Jesse Bates. And that's just, you know, those are the easy ones. You could find other money. Like, so they could come up with this, they can come up with whatever they need. Like if they trade for Hassan Reddick and they need to give him $20 million, they could do it. So they have options on the table, that they can exercise if they need to. They're probably not going to, unless they find something they actually want to spend it on, because I think they're trying to keep their future cap as healthy as possible. Like already next year with the Kirk Cousins contract, we're down to about $40 million in space next year, which again, that's not a huge deal. That's plenty of space right now. And you're going to get, you know, your draft picks in there and all this stuff. But they're not going to be swimming in cap anymore now with Kirk Cousins under contract. That's not really going to be a thing. So they're going to need to be a little bit more careful with what they do. But again, they haven't really started stretching their money. If they need to, they can. If they don't have guys they love, they'll probably try to be, you know, a little bit more frugal with these signings, get that sort of those classic Terry Fontenot value signings in here. And I think we're going into that second wave of free agency now where we could see some savvy additions. I think Akello Witherspoon's a perfect example of a guy that I think they could pitch to come in here, have a great shot at starting again in a familiar defense and then playing his way into a big contract somewhere potentially. You know, that there's a lot, I think corner in particular and probably edge still. Like I think if they could get a nice safety in here, I'd like that. But I just don't know that they're going to spend big on safety, obviously, with a lot of money invested in Jesse Bates. But, you know, John Johnson's still out there. I think that could make a lot of sense, right, just to solidify this group. And I'd feel a lot better if we could just get, like, some edge guy in here. Like, if they could trade for Hassan Reddick, add John Johnson and Akello Witherspoon, I think we'd be, like, gravy. Like, we'd be super gravy. That would be very expensive, obviously, to get get Hassan Reddick in here. But I would trade a third round pick for Hassan Reddick without question. Like, you're not going to find a better value than that, and that's a huge need for the Falcons. And so I would love for them to be in on that sweepstakes. We'll see if they get it done. But I think, you know, we're still waiting on a few more moves. I think the defense is the one that needs the most work now, which is weird to say because just a couple days ago it was, but this offense is in desperate need of help. They've helped the offense in free agency. They've fixed the side of the team that needed the most attention. And right now it's sort of like, well, we're kind of just hoping that the defense won't regress too hard so that the help from the offense will sort of overcome any like regression from the defense. And that will be enough to propel us to the playoffs now that we have such a more stable offense. Like, and you guys know this, offense can help defense in a big way. And the Falcons offense did nothing to help the defense last year, and the defense was still good. So if the defense is more like average this year and the Falcons offense is good, then that might make the defense look similar to last year, even though they may not be as good. So we'll see how that works out. I'm still hoping for a lot more talent coming in on the defensive and offensive sides, but we still have the draft. We've got a ways to go. And, you know, we've got that good old-fashioned hope that things will just work out. But they got the quarterback settled, and that's the biggest takeaway. The quarterback is settled for 2 years. Whether you love it or you don't, Kirk Cousins is here for 2 years. And I think it was a good bet to take because any of the other options were far riskier. You were going to have a really hard time getting a quarterback in the draft, and I don't, and it seems like everyone was basically out on Justin Fields, that wasn't really a legitimate option. So I like where we are. I feel better about the team, obviously, going into 2024 and beyond because they do have that quarterback. And I think people don't realize if Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins, that this offense should be drastically better. I mean, you look at the analytics that tell you the Falcons' expected points difference this year is like the biggest change in the NFL. This offense is expected to take a huge step forward from one of the worst in the league to potentially a top 10 offense. And that alone, the offense is king, right? Falcons had a top 10 defense last year. Didn't matter. Didn't really matter because the offense couldn't do a damn thing. You got to score to win in this league. And the Falcons, I think, realized that. Got the offense hopefully to where it needs to be. And I think we're gonna see some good things here. This is a very winnable division. Falcons are playing, you know, again, the schedule is not as easy as it was this year, but, you know, I think it's better for them to play some good teams in the regular season and beat some good teams. Like, that would be good to see. So we got a ways to go. We got lots of draft content coming up. Obviously, we're going to continue talking about free agency while this gets settled, but pretty soon we're going to be full on into draft content here. We're going to have a live mock draft for the patrons and the channel members on YouTube coming here real soon, maybe next week. Stay tuned for that. And we're going to have a lot of great draft content for you guys here on the Dirty Birds and Brews podcast. Thank you guys so much for watching today. Thank you for your patience while I was enjoying the slopes. I'm Kevin Knight at Falcoholic Kevin. Check out the community Discord. Check out those channel memberships. Check out the Patreon. Please like and subscribe if you haven't done so already. Please leave us that 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. And we will see you guys on Wednesday for Falcoholic Live. Until then, folks, have a great day. Thanks for watching Dirty Birds and Brews. And thanks to Bet Online for sponsoring today's episode. Have a great day, folks.
Ever dream of a 3-row SUV where everything for every passenger feels just right?
Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX80. With available features like biometric cooling, electronic air suspension, and segment-first individual audio that isolates sound. Right to the driver's seat. Discover every just-right feature in the all-new QX80 at InfinityUSA.com. 2025 QX80 is not yet available for purchase. Expected availability summer 2024. Individual audio cannot buffer all interior sounds. See owner's manual for details.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun, trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.